Welcome to Wednesday Night at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us.
Now, again, I remind you, we have a way to ask questions. There's a text number up here that you can text to. If you have a question, just do that. We also have some microphones, so we'll allow you to ask questions. We're going to look at Revelation chapter 17 and 18, and you notice it's real small print, don't you? And that's probably about as clear as mud, isn't it? Let me be up front with you. These are two very confusing chapters. And about everything we're going to say here this evening is, this is possibly the way it happens. There's not much here in these two chapters that we can say, this is it. Everybody hear that? Okay, good, good. So we'll start with the mysterious name. The mysterious name. Chapter 17, verses 1 to 6. One of the seven angels who had poured out the seven bowls came over and spoke to me. "Come with me," he said, "and I will show you the judgment that is going to come on the great prostitute who rules over many waters." Now, let me just stop there for a moment. Later on, I'm going to tell you now because you're going to need to know it. The many waters refers to people. We're told that later on in the chapter, all right? So, verse 2, "The kings of the world had committed adultery with her, and the people who belong to this world have been made drunk by the wine of her immorality. So the angel took me in the spirit into the wilderness, and there I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that had seven heads and 10 horns, and blasphemies against God were written all over it. And the woman wore purple and scarlet clothing and beautiful jewelry made of gold and precious gems and pearls. And in her hand she held a gold goblet full of obscenities and the impurities of her immorality. And a mysterious name was written on her forehead, Babylon the Great, mother of all prostitutes and obscenities in the world." And I could see that she was drunk with the blood of God's holy people who were witnesses for Jesus. I stared at her in complete amazement. Yeah, I would too. I mean, look at that picture, would you? So, this is a difficult passage, but what most people believe, not all, but most, is this is a reference to a religious system. The prostitute, she has forsaken God. Now, when we talk about Babylon, and we've talked about this before, Babylon just doesn't always reference a city. It doesn't always reference a religion or a group of people. It can be a government. There's a lot of other things. The Babylon started with the Tower of Babel. People thinking they could get to God. People believing they had a right to be equal with God. And God looked at them and said, you know what? They all can understand each other, and it's where the languages were invented and where God just separated them. And that was the beginning of the Babylons and the Babylonians and the religion. And so what we see here is and I'm picking my words very carefully, trying to anyway, a reference to a world church. Now, when I say world church, I don't just mean one. This is probably taking place at the beginning of the tribulation. It's probably a reference to the religious system. And any religion that does not put salvation through Christ in the center is not a godly religion. And so what we see here is the religions of the world have prostituted themselves, promised God, but haven't delivered God. Said they represent God, but they don't. Some here would want to say, well, it's the Roman Catholic Church. No, it's not. It is much more than that. Because it's been going on since the Tower of Babel. It's been a religious system. You look at what's going on in our day, what do we want? Well, we want to accept all religions, don't we? And so what is these all religions doing? They're taking people, deceiving people against God. You know, the kings of the world committed adultery with her. You know, they've accepted that they manipulated the religions, the Hinduism, the Buddhism, Confucianism, Islam, all of those come to be a people. And she's made people who belong to this world, they've been made drunk by her lies and her immorality and her wrong way of living. And, you know, she wore purple and scarlet clothing, beautiful jewelry, you know, all the travesty that goes with this. And so it's a reference to this, and she's the one who has led people astray, away from God. You see, oftentimes in the Old Testament, God tells the children of Israel they've committed adultery with him. They've gone away from him to serve another god. It's the same picture here. You see, Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet, they'll put down any force that'll come against them. And their two main opponents during the tribulation time are going to be the religious system and the financial system. And so what they're going to do is come to a place, and we're going to see this in a bit, where this person is taken care of, the religious system is done away with, and now everyone has to worship the Antichrist. So that's what's going on here in these first six verses. And that's probably about as clear as mud, isn't it? Questions?
We currently have no questions about the mud.
Good.
So you're good.
Any other questions? Raise hands. Okay, we're gone. Told you, I don't wait long. Secondly, the mystery explained. Mystery explained. So, you know, John's there looking in complete amazement. He's staring at this. He's wondering, what in the world's going on here? What kind of scene is this? And the mystery gets explained. Verse 7, chapter 17. Why are you so amazed, the angel asked. I will tell you the mystery of this woman and of the beast with seven heads and 10 horns on which he sat. Now, he's going to tell him that mystery, but I'm going to just tell you something. When he tells this, it doesn't clear much things up for me. All right. Now, the other thing to remember here is everything has to be kind of cloaked in references, because this letter is being read to the churches. And who's in power here? Rome. There can't be anything in here that's going to give them the ability to say it's treason. The beast you saw was once alive, but isn't now. And yet he will soon come up out of the bottomless pit and go to eternal destruction. And the people who belong to this world, whose names are not written in the book of life before the world was made, will be amazed at the reappearance of the beast who died. Now, just let's be honest. Don't have a clue. Some people want to say it's a nation that rises up. Some people want to say it's a world leader that rises up. We don't know. It's not clear here. Verse 9. This calls for a mind with understanding. The seven heads of the beast represent the seven hills where the woman rules. They also represent seven kings. Now, a lot of people want to take this and make it Rome. Well, if you go to Rome today, you can't find seven hills. Now, and back in this day, Rome was known as the city of seven hills. And so there's a kind of a, but seven kings, is that the Caesars? Who is that? We don't know. Verse 10, five kings have already fallen. The sixth now reigns. The seventh is yet to come, but his reign will be brief. And the scarlet beast that was, but is no longer, is the eighth king. He is like the other seven, and he too is headed for destruction. The 10 horns of the beast are 10 kings who have not yet risen to power. They'll be appointed to their kingdoms for one brief moment to reign with the beast. They will all agree to give him their power and authority. So what you see here, the beast, the Antichrist, coming in and taking possession, taking authority. He's going to be worshipped. He's going to be set himself up as a spiritual entity. Together, they will go to war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will defeat them because he is the Lord of all lords and King of all kings, and he is called and chosen, and faithful ones will be with him. So we know the outcome. That's the important thing to always know about Revelation. We know the outcome. How it all plays out, I mean, he's just given us the explanation of it all. Now, do you see it more clearly than I do? Maybe you're a person of more understanding than I am and more wisdom. Because I just, it still doesn't tell me what we want to know, does it? But what we see here is power being taken, power being manipulated during this tribulation time where someone is now ruling, short period of time, going to demand everybody worship them and pay homage to them, knowing that their ruling is going to be brief.
If you are living for the world and also living for God, or teeter-tottering in life, is your name going to be in the Lamb's Book of Life?
Well, you need to ask God that and not me, and I'm not God, by the way, just so you know. I don't know. But here's what the Bible says. No one can serve two masters. So New Testament seems to implicate you can't waver. You know, remember at the beginning of Revelation, he says to one of the churches, you're neither hot or cold. I wish you're just lukewarm and I'll spit you out. So it seems to indicate that if you're riding the fence, you're not where you need to be with God. That seems to be the implication of Scripture. If you try to play the middle, you lose.
That's all we got so far.
Good so far? All right. The plan in their minds. The plan in their minds. Verse 15 of chapter 17. Then the angel said to me, "The waters where the prostitute is ruling represent masses of people of every nation and language." There's the definition I told you about. So what that talks about, this water where this prostitute is, it covers the whole earth, doesn't it? It's not just a central location. It's all over the world. And how many false religions is there in this world today that take people away from God, that promise them something more and never deliver it, that promise them a better life and can never give it? They've taken, deceived people away from God. So the waters where this prostitute's ruling, it's the masses of people. The scarlet beast and his 10 horns all hate the prostitute. Why? Because the Antichrist can't stand for people to worship anybody but himself. He has to be the center of attention, correct? So he doesn't want anybody else to get any credit. Secondly, he doesn't want anybody else to have any power. They will strip her naked, eat her flesh, and burn her remains with fire. For God has put a plan into their minds, a plan that will carry out his purposes. They will agree to give their authority to the scarlet beast, and so the words of God will be fulfilled. And this woman you saw in your vision represents the great city that rules over the kings of the world. So it's one that rules there, that is deceiving people, that is taking people away from God, that is causing people not to honor God and live for God, is going to be destroyed. And right now it might look like, and as you and I look at the world, don't you kind of see there's a lot of false religion out there? Don't you see there's a lot of people saying, we're the way, we have this? Don't you see that there's a lot of, oh, we should all just be one, there's many ways to God, we can all just get along, everything's fine and go on. And God says, that's not right, and one day it's all going to be wiped out. All right?
Two questions. Could the 10 kings be the rulers of 10 nations?
Could be. Could be a lot of things. We don't know.
Did God know when he created the world who would be saved and who would not?
Oh, that's a trick question. Because that defines the subject of predestination. I'm going to answer that question, and Otis, Leon, if I get this wrong, let me know, okay? I'm going to answer this question. I'm going to say yes. Now, you mean God knows everything? Well, that means then I don't have a choice. No, no, no. You do have a choice. God just knows what choice you're going to make. It's kind of like, take one of my grandkids, take little Andy, my little grandboy, how old is he, two?
Yeah.
Okay, 2 years old. And let's say I go up to Andy and say, Andy, look, I have in this hand a sucker. Big sucker, really good. And I have in this hand collard greens. All right? Now, I know what he's going to do. Right? I know. God knows. Andy still has a choice, correct? He gets to make that choice, but I know. That's how it works. God knows, but God gives us a free will to make a choice. Well, no one can know what another person's thinking. God can. No one knows what's in another person's heart. God does. Does that answer that?
That's all we got. Yep.
Anything else? All right. Now, the chapter shifts, the scene shifts. We now go from the spiritual or the religious institution that the Antichrist deals with during the tribulation. So what happens is when the tribulation began, the church universal, for want of a better term, is there. All the religions are there. Everybody's there. And the Antichrist is going to do with them all to create a one world thing where they're going to worship him. He destroys them. Secondly, now we deal with the financial institutions. Money. The merchants have grown rich. The merchants have grown rich. Verse 1, chapter 18. After all this, I saw another angel come down from heaven with great authority, and the earth grew bright with his splendor. He gave a mighty shout, Babylon is fallen. Now remember, when Babylon's mentioned, it has all these different kinds of terms, doesn't it? The great city is fallen. She has become a home for demons. She's a hideout for every foul spirit, a hideout for every foul vulture, and every foul and dreadful animal. For all the nations have fallen because of the wine of her passionate immorality. The kings of the world have committed adultery with her because of her desires and for extravagant luxury. The merchants of the world have grown rich. People are making a lot of money. So we recognize this. Secondly, the mighty God judges. The mighty God judges. Verse 4. Then I heard another voice calling from heaven, come away from her, my people. Do not take part in her sins, or you'll be punished with her. For her sins are piled as high as heaven, and God remembers her evil deeds. Do to her as she has done to others. Double her penalty for all her evil deeds. She brewed a cup of terror for others, so brew twice as much for her. She glorified herself and lived in luxury, so match it now with torment and sorrow. She boasted in her heart, I'm queen of my throne. I'm no helpless widow. I have no reason to mourn. Therefore, these plagues will overtake her in a single day. Death and mourning and famine. And she will be completely consumed by fire, for the Lord God who judges her is mighty. There is going to be a judgment day. Now remember, the Bible tells us that God judges the nations, and this is one of the ways he does it. He is going to come and bring judgment against the nations and what they've done. Notice he said, she's done this and this and this. Double her punishment because of everything she's done. Wipe them out because of the greed and their immorality that's been here.
We have one question related to your previous question.
Okay. I didn't have a question before.
Not your question. Okay. The question you previously answered.
All right.
Why pray if there's predestination? Which
Here's why you pray. So you will make the right choice. God gives you a choice. Why do you pray? I want to make the right choice. God doesn't, please hear me, predestination has the implication that I have no choice in the matter. That's not true. Predestination, in the way that I'm using it, simply means God knows what the outcome's going to be. Just as in we're going through Revelation, God knows the outcome here. These people still have choices to make, but God knows the outcome. So I pray so that I make the right choice.
We got two more here. Some say that Babylon is America in the end times.
How what?
Some people say that Babylon is America in the end times.
Some people say Babylon's America in the end times. There is no biblical justification for that whatsoever. We don't know. Have you seen America mentioned here yet? No. Sells books, but other than that, it's okay. Go ahead.
Is he referencing a woman?
Not necessarily. No. More referencing a nations, more referencing the conglomerate of what's going on. You will notice these terms he will use. Sometimes he'll say a city, but he's really referring to a bigger picture and a more of a nation. Sometimes he says a woman, and it's not a woman, but it's a reference to what, you know, if you call somebody a prostitute, he's using a woman to use that as an example.
One more just came in. So nations as a whole will be judged?
Yes. We'll get into that later because this happens also later on in Revelation. But we see some of that going on here now.
That's all we got for now.
Good. All right. The kings and merchants mourn. Notice what happens here. Verse 9, and the kings of the world who committed adultery with her and enjoyed her great luxury will mourn for her as they see the smoke rising from her charred remains. They will stand at a distance terrified by her great torment. They will cry out, how terrible for you, O Babylon, you great city. So see, not referring to a woman, referring to now a Babylon in a big picture. In a single moment, God's judgment came on you. The merchants of the world will weep and mourn for her, for there's no one left to buy their goods. She bought great quantities of gold, silver, jewels, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet cloth, things made with fragrant fine wood, ivory goods, and objects made of expensive wood, and bronze, and iron, and marble. She also brought cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, olive oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, wagons, bodies, that is, human slaves. I'll let the person interpreting catch up with all of that. That's a lot of words right there, isn't it? That's a lot of goods. So what's happening? Now, notice what happened. What is the Antichrist wanting to do? He's wanting to create not only a world religion where he's worshipped, he's also going to create a world economy where no one can buy or sell anything without his approval, correct? So in order to do that, he destroys what's going on in the rest of the world so that there is nothing left. And that's what we're seeing in the picture here. Verse 14, the fancy things you love so much are gone, they cry. All your luxuries and splendors are gone forever, never to be yours again. The merchants who became wealthy by selling her these things will stand at a distance, terrified by her great torment. They'll weep and cry out, how terrible for that great city. She was clothed in finest purple, scarlet linens, decked out with gold and precious stones and pearls. In a single moment, all the wealth of the city is gone. All the captains of the merchant ships and their passengers and sailors and crews will stand at a distance. They will cry out as they watch the smoke ascend. And they will say, where is there another city as great as this? And they will weep and throw dust on their heads to show their grief. And they will cry out, how terrible for that great city. The ship owners become wealthy by transporting her great wealth of the seas. In a single moment, it is all gone. Wow. Could it be a reference to a city? Yes. Could it be a reference to a bigger picture of a government? Yes. What we just see here is what was once wealthy and had everything in a moment has nothing. All gone. God wipes it out. The Antichrist wipes it out so that he can be the one who steps in. And remember back, we read where, okay, there's another one coming to rain, only going to rain a short time, not long.
A follow-up to the previous question, is the great prostitute, the woman and she that's referred to, the same? The great prostitute and the woman.
Yes. Although what happens here is now we shift the woman here. Let me back up. Probably need to say no to that. The great prostitute we talked about in chapter 17 is not the same as the prostitute we're talking about here in chapter 18. Using the same words, but a different purpose with what they're doing.
Would the seven churches understand and interpret Revelations any differently, considering how difficult it is for us to interpret it?
Would they interpret it any differently? Of course, because they come at it from a different point of reference than you and I do. You know, they just have a different reference to how things were. They would reference it according to their culture and this understanding. We have somebody in the back with their hands up for Mike. So they're going to look at this in a completely different way. They're going to see things that you and I wouldn't see. We're going to see things they don't see. And so, yes, and that's why it's important for us to understand. Be careful when you're trying to make it say something, because this is written in such a way that it's hard to recognize exactly what's being said. But we all can understand the tenure of it. This is a difficult thing that's happening, and God's behind it. Okay? Yeah.
Yes, I just want to say a lot of times that things men build, the world, like ships and things, they refer to them as she or feminine.
Right.
That, and that kind of is a the way we think in our mind, take care of a ship, yeah, or, you know, something we build.
Yeah, and you see that going on not only here, but just throughout the Old Testament. You'll see it happening back and forth where God uses this picture of this and picture of this. And not always easy to know. Any other questions?
I got two more.
Okay.
So the Antichrist eliminates free will by taking away necessary life?
Antichrist doesn't eliminate free will, because remember, you can still be saved by not taking the mark of the beast. You still have a choice to make. Okay.
And who wipes out the city?
In this case, let's picture it this way. Let's say in our economy today, Greece defaults. It could set off a domino effect that would destroy economies around the world. So it's not a person. It is a system that is being dealt with. The Antichrist is behind it. God is behind it, dealing with the economy of this.
Why didn't it say that the prostitute could be man, not woman?
I don't know. We get hung up on those terminology things. God doesn't. And what does it matter? I know it matters in our culture because we're big on it, but it doesn't matter. Okay. The border, the boulder, the size of a huge millstone. Verse 20. Now notice, it kind of shifts here. Rejoice. Yeah, after all this. Rejoice over her fate, O heaven and people of God and apostles and prophets. For at last God has judged her for your sakes. Sometimes it feels like when we're serving God, the other side's winning, doesn't it? So what does God tell us here? You need to rejoice because you need to understand something. Because you've been faithful, you get to watch me settle the score. You get to watch me reward you for what you've done. You get to see how things play out. Verse 21, a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a huge millstone. So it'd be something probably at least this big, probably bigger. And he threw it into the ocean and shouted, just like this, the great city of Babylon will be thrown down with violence and will never be found again. The sound of harps and singers and flutes and trumpets will never be heard in you again. No craftsmen, no trades will ever be found in you again. The sound of the mill will never be heard in you again. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The happy voices of brides and grooms will never be heard in you again. For your merchants were the greatest of the world. You deceived the nations with your sorceries. In your streets flowed the blood of the prophets and of God's holy people, and the blood of people slaughtered all over the world. God says, look, I'll destroy it all. And what we're going to see, because we're coming to the climax of this book, what we see is that God literally destroys everything that's evil. That's the picture. Don't get hung up on he or she. Don't get hung up our city, nation, person, who don't get hung up on all of that. Just begin to see that the Antichrist is at work, but God wins. And God takes care of things. And God has an order for things. And here's what we see. We all say we want this, but when we see it, it's kind of difficult to take. God brings justice. He brings justice. You've served him, you follow him. The old little chorus said it this way. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. God will settle the score and he will take care of things. And the people today that think they're getting by with it, that think they're doing so well, that believe they're so intelligent, are going to come to an end and God will bring it all down. That's the God that we serve. And Revelation is about us understanding God brings justice and God fulfills his promise to us as his people.
Thank you for joining us for tonight's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We also gather on Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next time for Wednesday night at Faith Assembly. Faith Assembly's Wednesday night is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.